All right. It is good to see everyone here today in the Wayne County Bible Center on this September 29th, 2019. We are continuing our series on John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says a very expressive and a very bold truth and declaration. I'm going to read it to you. We'll go to the Lord and pray. But we're in John chapter 14, verse 6, the second message in the series, and the title is The Only Way. Jesus is the only way. John chapter 14, verse 6, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come, no man can get unto the Father, but only by me. Praise Jesus for His truth. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, as I call on You today, I want to ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I have confessed the filthy rags of my sinfulness to You throughout this past week, this morning, yesterday. And I confess these things out loud to You, the reality of them. Father, I know that You cleanse me by Your precious blood. If we will confess our sins, John tells us, He will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And so, Father, I thank You for the cleansing as I ask for the cleansing, and I pray for an anointing of Your Spirit. We need not the words of man today. I must decrease, You must increase, and I pray to be filled with Your Spirit. And let me wash the feet of these people who have assembled today in service. But Holy Spirit, I ask that You take over. You are a perfect teacher, and everyone in this room, Lord, Your Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts and minds. And everyone listening on the website, Lord Jesus, Your Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts and minds. So I pray that we'll open ourselves to You, and we'll say quietly unto You right now, Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from You today? Holy Spirit, please take over. In Your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. As I said last week, this is the boldest declaration of exclusive, that Jesus proclaims about Himself. He is saying, I am the only way to get to God. And I am the only way to get to heaven. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house in heaven are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to heaven after I'm crucified and resurrected, I will prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the only way to get to God and to get to heaven. And as I told you last week, I don't want anybody pushing us back into a corner as Christians. I don't want any of us backing us into a pigeonhole, because they'll use that term exclusive and exclusivity as if we're pushing people away or pushing people out. And I want to give you the greatest dichotomy in the Word of God is the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ and the inclusiveness of Jesus Christ. So let me show you. He is the only way to God. But go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let me show you this scripture. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul, writing to the young pastor Timothy, he says this. He says, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, the primary thing is that supplications and prayers and intercessions, that covers it all. Supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You can't get any more inclusive than all men. Jesus is the only way to God, and He wants all men prayed for. for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, that you pray for all men, that you intercede for all men, that you give thanks for all men, who will have all men to be saved and will have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You can't get any more inclusive than that. People say all the time, you know, we want to be accepting of people. I want you to understand, Christians are accepting of people. Now, I may not agree with your behavior. I may not agree with your lifestyle. I may not agree with your activities. But I will accept you as a person that Jesus Christ died for. Then he wants you to be saved. And I want you to be my brother and my sister in Christ. You know, and as I've traveled here recently and, you know, you're exposed to the media and you're exposed to the culture, we don't need anyone speaking for Christianity today. We don't need a secular media speaking for Christianity. We don't need unbelievers speaking for Christianity. We need to speak for ourselves based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ says, I am the only way to God. And Jesus Christ says, I want all men to get to God. And that's a beautiful thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Go with me, my friend, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see this great truth, this great concept of acceptance and inclusion. You know, there's no political party that's got a monopoly on acceptance and inclusion. There's no secular movement that's got a monopoly or a source on acceptance and inclusion. The biblical truth is the first acceptance and inclusion. Jesus Christ made it clear, and Peter says it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward all of us. He is not willing that any person on the face of the planet should perish and not go to heaven, but that all people should come to repentance. My friend, that's God's will. Lehman, that's our mission. Cameron, that's our mission. That all people come to Jesus Christ, and we present the love and the truth of the Savior. Verse 18, grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Yes. There is one man, one God for all men. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Got so excited I left this out. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I see it back in my notes now. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at what he says. In verse 4, he says this, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, that's inclusive. That's as inclusive as you can get. Now read the next verse. Because there is only one God, and there is only one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Now, that's exclusive. There's only one way to get to God. There's only one mediator. Verse 6, and there is only one man who gave himself a ransom to pay for Leo Doyle's sins on the cross, and we are going to testify of him in due time. There's only one Savior that went to the cross, and his name is Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Leo, so you're saying that Buddhism is not the way to God. Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying. You're saying that Islam is not the way to God. That's what I'm saying. Muhammad did not die for your sins. Buddha did not die for your sins. I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. I'm not saying it in a judgmental manner. I'm saying it in a truthful manner. The God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants all men to come to the truth and to be saved. Now, go back with me to John chapter 14. And let me give you the Greek. And if you're listening to us for the first time, or you're a new listener, I want you to understand something. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. And the New Testament was written in Greek and some Aramaic in the Gospels, because Jesus actually spoke the Aramaic language, which was a combination of Hebrew, Samaritan, following the dispersion of the Jews and then being brought back into the promised land. And the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and some in Chaldean. Some of Daniel's writings, Jeremiah's writings in Chaldean, because it was written during the Persian or the Babylonian captivity and they spoke Chaldean. But for the most part, the New Testament's written in Greek. The Old Testament's written in Hebrew. So in John 14:6, he says this. Jesus says, "I am the way." Now that word way in the Greek is hodos, H-O-D-O-S, hodos. And it's quite expressive, as we say all the time, the Greek is much more expressive than the English. It's much more specific, and it means this. It means a way or a path towards something. A way or a path towards something. Like if I were to leave and go out this front door and take a right and walk a narrow path to the back door at Emerald's restaurant there across the road, and it was marked out in yellow, it would be a way or a path, but it's not just a way or a path. The emphasis is it's a way or a path towards something, a destination. Second part of the definition, a method or manner of obtaining something, or arriving at a destination. So when Jesus says, "I am the way," he's saying, "I am the way to obtain salvation." And he's saying, "I am the way to arrive at heaven." So when he's saying that, the way to get to God is really not a method. It's really not an operation. It is a man. And the man's name is Jesus. And so I get to Jesus through a relationship. I get to God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. So when you look at John 14, look at verse 2. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, "If I go there and prepare a place, I come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." A destination. I am going before you to this destination. Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, believe on me for the works that I do. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So he is the way to heaven. He is the way to the Father. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. These are not the methods by which you get to God. You only get to God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer says Christ is our forerunner. And what he means by that is he's gone into heaven. He's dropped the anchor into the harbor in heaven. And we are safe and secure knowing that we are going to go there. Paul told the Corinthians, Christ is our first fruits. Yes. He has risen before us and we will rise also. But Christ has gone before us in all things. This is just the way of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to understand that. Christ goes before us in all things. I want you to understand something. You and I get tempted every week. There are temptations every week, temptations every day, temptations every moment. But I want to praise God for something right now. My Lord is going before me in temptation. Now look what the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched or moved with compassion with the feeling and the experiences of our infirmities and our weaknesses. But he has been tempted in all points just like we are, yet he was without sin." My friend, you might say to me, Brother Leo, the devil's been on me all week. Everywhere I turn, the old devil, he's all over me. I want you to understand, my Lord fasted for 40 days. He faced the devil face to face, and everything the devil threw at him, the Lord won, and the Lord defeated him. So I want to praise God. The Lord has already gone before me in anything I'm ever going to face as concerning temptation. Jesus Christ is the way of victory over temptation. So all I got to do is draw close to Him. All I got to do is grab hold of Him. So He's the way. He has gone before us. Verse 16, so I can come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Before church started today, I saw Jennifer talking to Tracy. And Tracy, I saw y'all looking at each other's hands. And you know why they were looking at each other's hands? And if you're listening on the website, I'll fill you in. Jennifer had carpal tunnel surgery a few weeks ago. And then Tracy had carpal tunnel surgery here more recently. And so I'm sure that's what they were talking about. Yeah. And the bottom line is this. I can't tell Tracy a thing about carpal tunnel surgery. All I can tell her is, Tracy, I prayed for you. Jennifer, I prayed for you. Yeah. But Jennifer can tell her a whole lot about it because she had it done. Yeah. That's what this verse is saying. Jesus Christ can get us through because He's been through it. Jesus Christ can give us the victory because He's won the victory. And so He is our forerunner. He is the way. He is the one we grab hold of. Man, I don't want to go to some priest in some office. I don't want to go to some preacher sitting in some office. I want to go to the man that never lost, the man that never sinned, the man that has the power to show us the way to victory. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There's no other way. When I'm under the attack of the devil, I don't need religion. When I'm under the attack of the devil, I don't need a self-help book. When I'm under the attack of the devil, I need the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus Christ Himself infused and empowered within me. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 says this, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus brings me into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus saves me. The blood of Jesus allows me to pray. I want to praise God. I want to praise God. When the Lord looks at me, when He beholds me, He sees that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And He sees the righteousness of Christ imputed unto my state and unto my standing. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Would you say that with me? By a new and living way. Would you say it again? By a new and living way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Now, look at what He says. By a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So you say, Brother Leo, what is the way to God? The way to God is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His flesh, on that cross, carrying my sin, my judgment, my condemnation, facing the wrath of God for 3 hours of darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you had to turn away from me? Because the sins of Leo Dole and the whole world were placed upon the body of Christ. And so now, I don't have to face the wrath of God. I receive the salvation of God through the way, the cross of Jesus Christ and His atoning work. So it says this in verse 22, I can draw near to God with a true and confident heart in full assurance of faith. So I can be close to God. We run into people all the time that say, Brother Leo, I can't pray. There's too much sin in my life. My friend, if there's a lot of sin in your life, you need to pray more than you ever prayed in your life. God will not turn you away. God is accepting. God is loving. God is merciful. God is graceful. There is no limit. He is immeasurable. There are people in the secular media. There are atheists. There are unbelievers. They want to turn you away from God. They want you to think God's narrow-minded. They want you to think God is so judgmental. My friend, God created you. God loves you. God wants to give you a second chance, a second thousand chance. And the Lord says, come unto me. All of you, come unto me. God has always gone before us. Go with me to Deuteronomy 31. He's the way. He's the way to a full and abundant life. He's the way to having a great marriage. He's the way to being at peace with people. And I'm not going to apologize to God. I'm not going to apologize for God. I'm not going to apologize for God's Word. I'm not going to apologize for Christians. We are loving people. We are accepting people. But now we're not liars. I'll get to that next week. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We'll get to the truth. I've got to share with you the truth. Not going to have somebody stand before the judgment seat one day and say, Leo Dole never told me the truth. He told me I was all right when I wasn't all right. I praise God. Nobody told me I was all right when I wasn't all right. I was told I was a sinner that needed to be saved. That's the truth. And so we have so many folks that just want, everybody's all right. You know, everybody gets a participation trophy. You know, we don't want anybody to feel bad. My friend, human nature, we have to feel bad sometimes before we can feel good. Yes. God gave us the feeling to feel bad. I was reading Zodiates this week on a scripture in James about how we are the only creature with the capability of self-assessment. Yes. Now, studying that deeply, we can assess ourselves. We can know the truth about ourselves. However, we can also deceive ourselves. And that's a whole nother series we'll hopefully get to after this one. But anyway, look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and in verse 7. It says this, and Moses called unto Joshua and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. So don't be afraid and don't get dismayed or discouraged. Now, Lehman, I want to praise God that God is with me. I want to praise God He won't fail me. I want to praise God He won't forsake me. I want to praise God I don't have to fear. And I want to praise God I don't have to be dismayed or discouraged. But before I can praise God for all that, I've got to make sure in verse 8 that God goes before me. He is the way. I am to follow the way. The way of God. You got to allow God to go before you. My friend Pete in Chicago shared with me, we were at a brunch in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago. And he shared with me, he said, Leo, I want to tell you something that really touched me. He went by a church and it had a sign and it said this, if God is your co-pilot, and it had dot, 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 if God is your co-pilot, you better hurry up and switch seats. If God is your co-pilot, you better hurry up and switch seats. And how many people for years have always put on their bumpers, God is my co-pilot? That's the same way of saying, God, hear my plans, you bless them. God, hear my plans, you bless them. God, give me this. God, give me that. Instead of saying, Lord, what are your plans for me? Like Moses told the Lord. The Lord said, Moses, I'm going to go before you. And Moses said, well, Lord, if you're not there, I don't want to go. Amen. And that's a great prayer. Father, show me where to go with my life. Show me the direction to go in. Because if you're not in this, Lord, I don't want to be in it either. So when you have a decision make, when you stand at a crossroad, allow the way to go before you. I am the way. And He's the only way. You say, well, here you go again, Brother Leo. You're saying that Christianity is the only way. No, my friend, the Word of God says Christianity is the only way. I am a believer in the Word of God. I am a Christian. I am born again. I am washed in the blood. I am indwelt by the Spirit. That's who I am. That's who y'all are. That's who Jennifer is. That's who we are. We are born again. We are washed in the blood. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, go with me to John chapter 6. Let me show you how exclusive this is. And Peter got this understanding. Folks think they need so many things in life. Our culture tells everybody what they need. The only thing you need is Jesus. Yes. The only person you need is Jesus. You need an intimate personal relationship with Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the answer. In John chapter 6, verse 60, Jesus is speaking earlier, except a man eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he's talking about his death and resurrection, partaking of him. And in verse 60 of John 6, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, you know, does this offend you? And in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back. They turned away. They walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, are y'all also going to go away? And Peter gives the greatest answer you could give. Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, if we go away, to whom shall we go? Lord, there's nowhere else to go. I want you to understand that, my friend. There is nowhere else to go. Jesus Christ is the only way. And he says this, you are the only one that has the words of eternal life. And then he says this, and we believe and we are sure that you are the Christ and the Son of the living God. And that is my statement of faith today. And I say it for every Christian in America and all over the world. I want to say today that we believe and we are sure that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, and He is the Son of the living God. Amen. He is the Savior and He is the Redeemer. And my friend, we don't have to apologize for the truth. And He not only wants me to know that, He wants you to know that. If you're listening on this website, you may be in Chicago. We've got folks in Philadelphia, Tim, that listen to us. L.A., Las Vegas. Folks that listen to this website every week and in other countries throughout the world. And if you are listening, Jesus Christ wants you to be able to say that. He came to save you. He came to bring you to heaven, and He came to bring you a full and abundant life. Jesus Christ, to whom shall we go? And don't you love that? We are sure that you are the only one that has the words of eternal life. He says, come unto me and I'll save you. I just want you to know, and I said this last week, greater love hath no man than this, than Jesus Christ laid down His life for your sins. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ is knocking on your heart's door. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John is solid on this theme of Jesus being the only way. And you know, and I say this because we had a secular celebrity many years ago. She's from Nashville. She lives in Chicago now. But she said, there are many ways to get to God. And she said it on her nationally syndicated television. And that made big news about 8 or 10 years. Oh, there are many ways to get to God. And there are many truths. My friend, you're going to see next week, there can only be one truth by definition. The word truth, there's only one truth. Everything else has to be a lie. There aren't many truths and there aren't many ways to get to God. There's only one way, and His name is Jesus. And you might think you're being nice, and you might think you're being inclusive, and you might think you can sell more cookware or sell more clothes, or you don't want to leave anybody out, so I don't want to offend this group or that group, because my God is the dollar bill, so I'm going to say there are many ways to get to God. But there's only one. I don't have to sell anything. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, look at what he says in John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. Just stop right there. I'm the door. We've got a way. Now we got a door. I want you to understand, a door is a narrow entrance in the Greek. Door is a narrow entrance in the Greek. We got a double glass door I'm looking at right now. But we want to cut that in half and just look at one side of it. That's a door. That's a door in the Greek. That's a door in the English. And it's big enough to get about one person to go through it at a time. And that's how it's defined in the Greek. A narrow passage. And you say, well, Brother Leo, why is it narrow? Because everybody by themselves as an individual has to walk through that door. Amen. I can't take Cameron with me through the door. I can't take Larry with me through the door. I can't take my child with me through the door, my husband or my parents. Everybody individually has to go through that door. Yes. Now, look what he says. I am the door. By me as a person, my words, my works, my work on the cross, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yes. And then, it's not just about going to heaven. You'll go in and out of the sheepfold. You'll find pasture. You'll be blessed. Look at what he says in verse 10. I have come that you might have life, Zoe, the blessed life in Christ, and that you might have an abundant life, a peaceful life, a wonderful life here on earth where you'll be blessed, you'll glorify me, and you'll be a blessing to others. And you'll be at peace. And so Jesus Christ is the door. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What's the door? The good shepherd giving his life on Calvary's cross. My friend, you got to come there. You got to kneel at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And you either receive what he did on that cross or you reject it. You've got free will. And I'm going to tell you something. If you receive what he did, I represent Christians all over the world right now. We're going to love you. And if you reject what he did, we're going to still love you. And we're going to pray for you. And we're going to hope that you come to Jesus Christ. Go with me to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep personally. Know, epinosis. And am known of my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life on the cross for those sheep. Verse 17. My Father loves me. I lay down my life, and I'm going to take it up again at my resurrection. Go with me to verse 24. The Jews come to him and say, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. And Jesus says, I told you, and you believe not. That's his words. I told you. The works that I do in my Father's name, the miracles, they bear witness of me. You got the words of Christ. You've got the works of Christ. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them, and I give unto them eternal life, the man. You got the man Jesus, you've got his words, and you've got his works, and you got to strip away everything else. And so I want to ask you right now, are you of the way? You say, wait a minute, Brother Leo, what do you mean? Nobody ever asked me that. And I'm going to ask you right now, are you of the way? I'm going to show you how impactful that statement was that Jesus made. But you know, everybody wants to lose the focus. Next week we're going to see, you know, what is truth. Well, Pontius Pilate answered it. He said, behold the man. What is truth? Behold the man. So what I'm saying to you today, you got to behold the man. Are you of the way? I am the door. Look what he says. John chapter 10 verse 9. Look what he says. I am the door. By me, all right? That's exclusive, right? Only by me. And then notice what he says. If any man, that's inclusive, any man, by me if any man. So you've got the exclusivity of Christ, and then the invitation is for all. So Christianity does not block anybody out. It doesn't turn away from anybody. And just as I came to Christ with my sins, you can come to Christ with your sins in a spirit of repentance. Jesus Christ is the only way. Go with me to the book of Acts. And I'm going to ask you again, are you of the way? You say, Brother Leo, I've never heard that. John chapter 8, verse 1. It said, Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. So that's what Saul did. Before his conversion, everybody that was of the church, he'd arrest them, he'd have them stoned, or he'd have them in prison. Now, go to Acts chapter 9. And in verse 1 it says, Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. What's that mean, brother? The movement was called the way. This way. You know, they were called Christians at Antioch. They were called the church, but they were called the way. So Ken, if you and I were in Jerusalem and I didn't know you very well and didn't know if you were a spy or if you were with Saul, I might come up to you and say, hey man, are you of the way? What's it mean to be of the way? Means you're a follower of Jesus. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. It's all through the book of Acts. And folks have never seen it. Folks will say, oh, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm not. I'm of the way. No, I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm of the way. Boy, you're way out there. No, I'm biblical. Acts chapter 19. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened, many people were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, Paul departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. But notice what it says. They spoke evil of the way. Are you of the way? Go with me to Acts 22. And in Acts chapter 22, I believe Paul's given his testimony. And in Acts 22, verse 1, he says, men and brethren, hear my defense. They heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. Verse 3, I am verily a man, born a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, brought up under Gamaliel. I was perfect in the manner of the law, was zealous toward God as a good Jewish rabbi, yet all are this day. But I persecuted the way unto death, and I was binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Are you of the way? Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, here he's going to send Paul to Rome. When Felix heard these things, he already had a knowledge of the way. He'd already heard about Jesus. He'd already heard about the movement. So he deferred them and said, I'll let you know later on this matter. He'd already heard of the way. That's how impactful the statement of John 14:6 was 2,000 years ago. The first church referred to themselves as being part of the way. Jesus says, I am the only way to God. I am the way. And so, my friend, as you look at that statement, and as you hear everything watered down and everything in deception, the bottom line is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way to salvation, a blessed life in earth and an eternal life in heaven. And that's what the Word of God says. You can't separate the man from his teachings, and you can't separate the man from his works. You can't separate the man from his character. He's loving, he's merciful, and he's patient. And he wants everyone to be saved. You don't change your life and come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and he changes your life. But if we don't stand for something, we fall for anything. Jesus Christ is the way. I don't say that judgmentally, and I don't say it hatefully. I say it with love in my heart. I've got a little bit of Christ in me. I want everybody to be blessed, just like Jesus does. I want everybody to be saved, just like Jesus does. I want everybody to have a wonderful, wonderful life, just like Jesus wants them to have. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And I just want to ask you, in the quietness of this moment, are you of the way? Has there been a time in your life where by faith you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you asked the Lord to take over your life, that you are going to commit your life to His? You say, well, Brother Leo, why do I have to commit my life to His? Because He committed His life to you. He died for you, and He's asking you to live for Him. And He will bless you. The way of the cross is the way of Jesus, and it's the way of salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to consider the time in your life when you made that decision to follow the way. And I'm also going to ask you to pray for those who have not yet taken that step. Pray for those that are on your heart that need to know the way, the truth, and the life in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments to pray about ourselves and others.